May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 1000. Ye tempted and tried, to Jesus draw nigh. He suffered and died, your wants to supply. Trust him for salvation, ye need not to grieve. There's no condemnation to them that believe. Number 1000.
From two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now let us turn to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 77. The 77th Psalm. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off for ever, and will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone for ever? Doth his promise fail for evermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies, Selah? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were troubled, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we seek to come before thy throne. Lord, thou hast said that heaven is thy throne and the earth is thy footstool. Do grant unto us that we might know, as dear Jacob proved so early on, Lord, that there is a way from earth unto heaven, that there is a way where the Lord stands above, where the Lord hears and answers prayer and sends down blessings in answer. O Lord, we thank thee that unto thee shall all flesh come, that all of thy people shall come in a day of grace. And O Lord, what a solemn thing that all shall come at last to. O may we lift up our head with joy amongst the sons of God. Lord, we thank thee that we may look back, that we may record and remember that which is set forth of thy first coming. And Lord, as the church of God, we would look for thy second coming. Lord, do grant that we might know the wonders of thy work of redemption, that which thou hast wrought out in thy coming, fulfilling the scriptures. We thank thee for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We thank thee that thou art he whom thy Father hath highly exalted and set thee at thy right hand, and that thou art he who was dead and yet is alive evermore. And thou art he whom thy people shall praise. O Lord, we would exalt thy precious name in thy sanctuary. Lord, we would speak of thy glory and show forth thy praise. Lord, do thou be pleased to help us in our worship this evening. We come before thee in all our felt weakness and sin and need. And Lord, what are we before thee? O Lord, when we view ourselves, what shame. what sorrow, what confusion, what confessions we must make. O Lord, do be pleased to remember, as the hymn writer expresses the prayer to thy Spirit, out of self, to Jesus lead, for and in us intercede. Lead us down to death, and there banish all our guilt and fear. We seek that we might know before that hour the blessing of sins pardoned and forgiven, the blessing of a good hope beyond the grave, the blessing of a knowledge of salvation, and the comfort that that brings. O Lord, do bless thy word that we have read this evening, and do grant us thy divine help in the ministry of thy word, that thou wouldst declare with authority in sinners' hearts here the way of salvation and thy work. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, thy glory unto their children. O Lord, do be pleased that in thy sanctuary it might be fulfilled here, that in thy sanctuary everyone shall speak of thy glory. Lord, we live in a world where so many speak anything but thy glory. They ridicule, they mock, they curse, they swear, they desire not the knowledge of thy ways. But Lord, what a different picture it is in the place where thy people gather, and where there are those that are taught of thee. Lord, remember any here. Especially we pray for our dear young friends, who may, going amongst the world, find many who doth pour scorn upon the things of God and ridicule it. And Satan comes in and he says that no one really sees any beauty or glory in thee. No one speaks well of thee. And the whole world doth speak against thee. But Lord, thou hast said that in thy sanctuary, and where there are those taught by thee, where there are those that have their eyes open, where there are those that know thy worth and thy power, that everyone doth speak of thy glory. O Lord, we do thank thee for that, and that we gather amongst those who are able to speak well of thee, those who do know the worth and glory and preciousness of thy name. And Lord, may we truly be amongst them and not amongst the mocking world. O, do grant grace that those who may be troubled and tossed to and fro in their minds at this time might see before them two ways, and that they might clearly desire that thou hast put in their hearts to desire, to choose and to follow and to seek thee in thy ways, and to shun this world and all its deceits, to cast in their lot amongst the poor and afflicted children of God, but those that are taught by thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst establish thy word in the hearts of thy people. We believe there are those here, and thy word is in their hearts as a seed. In others it is as a blade that is springing up. Or in others it is beginning to show forth fruit. But, O Lord, do grant that there might be that crowning fruitful harvest of praise to thy name, and that joy over one sinner that repenteth in the house of God. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst carry on thy gracious, glorified work in sinners' hearts. Lord, we do thank thee for the dear brethren here, for this cause of truth. Do bless and strengthen the deacons, encourage them, and do be with each that loves Zion, that they might uphold in prayer the church here, thy people and thy servants that minister here, and that there might be felt a kindred spirit, and in spite of feeling so unworthy in themselves, that they might feel that they cannot deny that thou hast given them a real bond and a love to the people of God. O Lord, we thank thee for those sacred cases on record, like dear Ruth, that felt a real love to the people of God. O Lord, we pray for each of our young friends here, to work in their hearts while they are young, establish them in the truth, and bless them with liberty and assurance, and do deliver them from falling and from this bewitching world. Help and be with those who long have trod in Zion's ways. Leave them not to be discouraged and downhearted, and help those who thou hast appointed for a season to walk in darkness and trouble and with a lack of assurance and with being troubled and tossed to and fro, and do bring safely through those valleys that feel to be as the shadow of death, and bring safely through the ways that there seems to be no way. Lord, those who feel that they are strange to themselves and to others, that know not where they are, Lord, thou knowest where all thy people are, and do grant that even this evening, that thou wouldst show a poor sinner where they are and where they shall be eternally. Do be pleased to bless us for Christ's sake. Do grant us to be viewed through thy beloved Son, that thou hast blot out our many sins, that thou hast sanctify us, renew the spirit of our minds, and lead us by thy Spirit into the truth in Jesus. May we see it all in him, and may it be precious to us. Do bless us with fresh supplies of grace. Lord, thou hast said that thy grace is sufficient, and that thou dost give more grace. And remember each soul that feels their need of that renewed supply tonight. We pray for those in particular tribulations, those in sickness, those in bereavement. Be with those in darkness. Be with those at times in their lives when they feel to need specially thy guidance and help. O Lord, do remember that with the children of Israel in the wilderness, that there were those special times that thou didst so go before them when there was to be a move, a change, when there was a time in their lives and a time in providence that there was to be a change. And Lord, do remember those here that may walk that path, that they might clearly see at such time thy blessing, thy presence, thy hand to go before them. Fulfill the petitions of thy people. Thou hast said that thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Remember any here who upon whose heart is laid petitions and their requests are before thee tonight. Lord, hear them and be pleased to answer. O Lord, we do seek of thee that we might have a true spirit of praise, of thanksgiving, both for temporal mercies and spiritual ones. And Lord, that thou leavest not without thy promised comforter, the remembrancer, to bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever thou hast said unto us. O Lord, we confess our many sins. We beg of thee that thy salvation is all its parts, might be made more and more precious, more clear, more bright, more clearly defined before us, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, grow less and less to trust in works and more to trust in grace, more and more to value mercy, more and more to see our need of mercy, more and more to reject all thoughts of our own merit before Thee. O Lord, do lead us in that humble way and make us a follower of the humble Lamb of God. Do grant unto us Thy Spirit. Oh, how galling that is to our proud natural spirit. Lord, we do seek the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in this respect. Remember those at home this evening, those with the children and little ones, and may there be something that is remembered and brought home to them this evening. Be with those that are on duty at Bethesda and in other employments needful to be away, and may they also part alike and be favoured through Thy word. O Lord, we thank Thee for the gathering together of Thy people, and now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in Thee. O leave us not. Do touch one's lips with a live coal from off Thy altar, and cause that the words spoken might be owned and blessed of Thee, to Thy honour and to Thy glory. Bless the hymns we sing. We thank Thee for the confirming of them. And Lord, may there be that blessed flowing together this evening. We ask through Thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 221. Ye children of God, by faith in his Son, redeemed by his blood and with him made one, this union with wonder and rapture be seen, which nothing shall sunder, without or within. 221.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 77, our second reading. We read for our text verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Our text is opening up and expanding really what is in verse 10. Because in verse 10 we read, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And our text specifically says what he will remember concerning those years. In this psalm, we have very clearly set forth a soul that is in soul trouble because they feel that the Lord has forsaken them and they are in a very low position. As such, there may be those of you tonight, and you may say, well, that's all very well, but I have never known the blessing of the Lord. What I want is for the Lord to come and to bless my soul. And this is speaking of one who in one sense is remembering they have lost what they once had as the blessings of the Lord. But this is a word for every soul that would know the true peace and comfort and blessing of God. And really what we have set before us is the Lord dealing with a soul further, bringing them into a place for no, we might say, apparent reason, into darkness, into feeling desertion, into a place in their soul where they cannot any longer sing or joy in the Lord. And it is to bring them to see more crystally clear as to where their comfort is and where their help is to come from. And in one sense, there is a dividing line, and I hate to make it very clear in this psalm, because in the beginning of it, we have the description of how he is feeling, crying unto the Lord and in trouble. I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. And I'm very encouraged with our first hymn, is speaking of in the day and in the night, also in what we have just sung, because what a difference there was when he says that he was, in verse 5, I called to remembrance my song in the night. But now his spirit is overwhelmed, his soul ran in the night. And he says, thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled I cannot speak. And he is in a position where once he could speak, now he can't. Once he could sing, now he can't. Once when he laid awake, then he could sing of the Lord's songs. But now it is so very different with his soul. And I specifically want to look at what he first was looking at and then where he obtained the comfort from and where he obtained the victory over that very, very low place. Because in verse 3, we read, I remembered God and was troubled. I remembered God and was troubled. We think of what is said, that even the devils, they believe and are troubled. God out of Christ is a consuming fire. We know the Lord's people, when the Lord begins with them, it will be as a day they look unto their Maker. But our Lord, he pointed really as to this distinction when he said to the Jews, ye believe in God, believe also in me. A belief in God, but leaving out Christ and his work, will have this effect. I remembered God and was troubled. If we see the Lord's judgment, his greatness, his might, his majesty, his power outside of Christ, God is a consuming fire. And the people of God are to know, and they are to realize that. They are to be brought to value Christ and to prize him, God's provision, the one mediator and name given among men whereby we must be saved, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so the soul here experienced this. You might think a child of God, it would be a help to him to remember God. But he remembers God and he's troubled. It is not a help. Why is it not a help? How is it? Is he not looking in the right direction? Is he not looking unto the Lord? But then also we read in verse 5, I have considered the days of old. Consider thinking carefully over those days of old, the things that have passed. Perhaps the providences, the pathway that he's walked, the experiences that he's had. He's considering them, going over them, but still no help there. Even calling to remembrance his song, calling to remembrance the times of joy and blessing and of gladness, making diligent search. And he's saying, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? It's evident in those things that there's not help. There is something that is lacking. But isn't it good to consider? Isn't it good to remember? Isn't it good to think and remember the blessings that the Lord has given us? But what does the Lord teach us? Our salvation is not found in God alone outside of Christ. Our salvation and our comfort isn't on our frames and feelings and our former blessings and the joy that we've received in them. That is not our hope for heaven. And the considering, the real careful thinking, it must be upon the right things. It can be on the wrong things that will not give comfort to our soul. If it brings us in this way, it's not comfort. The two on the way to Emmaus, as they were walking, they were going over the things that had happened. They were reasoning one to another. But did it bring comfort? They walked and they were sad. What they were going over wasn't bringing comfort to their souls. And it may be with some of you here, and you think, why? I'm exercised. I meditate on these things. I am looking unto my God, but there is not the comfort. There's not what I expect will come as a blessing and a help to lift me up from my condition. And so the psalmist here, he then brings a contrast. And really what is set before us, it is in God's salvation alone. God's work alone. The Lord will have respect unto the work of his own hands. He will not forsake the work of his own hands. The salvation of the Lord is in his beloved Son and in his work for us and in us. We've just sung, isn't it? Not of works, not our glad frames, not our feelings. Christ's work, Christ's blood, his work. And so we have the psalmist, and it's very similar to what there was in Psalm 73, where he was envious at the wicked, and footsteps almost nigh gone, no bands in their death, they are not in trouble as the other men. And he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He's not careless. He's not unthinking. He's thinking. He's going over these things and meditating over them. But very painful. And then we read, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Now may the Spirit be pleased to guide us tonight and guide you, dear friends, into that way of peace. That is the blessing of the Lord in leading to Christ, to guide our steps into the way of peace. And that is into the way of Christ. The devil, you know, he will attempt and he'll try every way he can to have a form of religion. But as long as he can steer a soul away from Christ, as long as he can steer him away from a single eye unto Christ, but the Lord's dealings with his people will bring them by experience to know that none but Christ will do their soul good, and a real trust in him. And where our deceitful heart will deceive us one way or another, we will prove in this, like the psalmist here, in one way of walking there wasn't comfort and help, and that may be where one is here tonight. But then when it changes, and he says then in verse 10, I said, this is my infirmity. This path I'm walking in, the fault is not with God, it's with me. How many times that is such a good thing to remember. When there's something stumbles us in providence, when there's something we cannot understand in the Word, the world's first reaction is to make God at fault, to put him at the bar. May ours be that which the Lord has said is right, but why I can't see it is because in me, because the darkness in me, or because the Lord has not yet revealed that to me. But when it is revealed, then I shall see it. You'll take us off many a stumbling stone. The Apostle Peter, he said regarding Paul's writings, in them are things hard to be understood, that they that are unstable and unlearned rest, twist, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. In John 6 we have our Lord speaking of the vital necessity of eating the flesh, drinking the blood of the Lord. No life in you except it. And many said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? They didn't say, this is an hard saying, one day the Lord will reveal it to us. One day he will open this to us. They said, they went back and they walked no more with him. And the disciples, we don't read whether they what they felt of it, but one thing they did know was that in Christ he had the words of eternal life, and they had nowhere else to go. And that's a good place to be, nowhere else to go. Well, here then the psalmist, he was brought to this. This is my infirmity. I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And he's starting now to look at the Lord's work, the Lord's hand, his right hand, his hand of salvation in God's work. And so with the words of our text, he opens it up more clearly. I want to look at the three parts in the text, and they are the remembering. First, I will remember. Then there is, I will meditate. And then there is, I will talk. I remember, I will meditate, I will talk. And you see how closely it follows what has gone before that was fruitless. He says, I remembered God. The remembering is there. He says, I will consider, very close to meditating. And he speaks of speaking, but he says here in verse 4, I am so troubled I cannot speak. But with our text, he says, I will talk. So what he sees now has loosed his tongue in a very different way. So firstly, I will remember. We have in verse 11, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I want to take it literally first, as it stands here, as it will be for the psalmist. Because if we look at the context later on, it is very clear he is going back to Egypt when the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt. Verse 15, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And then he says, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled. And thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He is looking literally at the Lord's redeeming his people as a typical people out of Egypt from the bondage that they were in there. And again, we do get a real highlighting of what is vital. In Egypt, we had 9 plagues. They were wonderful works of God, but no bloodshed, no paschal lamb, and no deliverance whatsoever. If ever our attention is directed unto Christ's sacrifice at Calvary and to that effect and the immediate effect of setting them free that night, they had to be ready, their shoes on, their staff in their hand, their loins girded, the Lord telling them, this is going to be the effectual wonder. This, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This shall bring you out of your bondage. This shall set you free, this way of redemption. And so in this literal way, the psalmist is going back. He's looking at that. Now, he didn't experience that himself. This is 1,000 or so years past that time. And so he is remembering that by report, by what has been told him, what he has read. The same as what we would do. But remembering the works of the Lord, how he wrought with his ancient people, how he set them free. Well, in gospel days with us, we don't need to look at types. The gospel, it does show and shine upon the types, so we can see even more in them than what those saints did, but they saw Christ through them. But we may see the gospel very clear, and if the psalmist here is to remember the works of the Lord and thy wonders of old, then we are specifically to remember Calvary, not the paschal lamb as the type, the lamb that was shed there in Egypt, but the Lamb of God that was laid down his life at Calvary and suffered there. And the Lord has given to the church of God aids and helps in the remembrance of that. No doubt you, dear friends, the last Lord's Day, the first Lord's Day, observe the Lord's Supper, and that is given to the church of God. This do in remembrance of me. As oft as ye do eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And it is a service of remembrance, a remembering of what the psalmist was to remember here, that was to change his captivity and to deliver him from his low condition and his need. How kind, how good the Lord is to the church of God to often set this before us. So this, what we have before us in this psalm, is set before us as a reminder. There are many reminders in the Word of God. We think of what the Lord has said concerning the promise never again to destroy the world with a flood of water. I do set my bow in the cloud. I will look upon it. I will remember my covenant. It is, the Lord doesn't need, shall we say, these prompts to remind him, but he kindly gives them to us to remind us that he is remembering and to remind us as well of his promise. And we have that with the Lord's Supper as well. He who put the bow in the cloud also instituted the Lord's Supper for the church and for the people of God. That which they are to observe and do. The Lord says, I do set my bow in the cloud. But he says to the people of God, this do in remembrance of me. Willingly, freely. And really those that have learned this lesson that's in this psalm, will be very attractive to them to do that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I dare not trust that sweetest frame, but wholly build on Jesus' name. And there is the distinction. Very easy for us to look back to those blessed times, try to again revive them up and put our hope for heaven on them. But the Lord, through the Word and the Spirit, says, no, poor soul, that's not your hope of heaven. Your hope of heaven, who gave you that blessing, who brought that sweetness, and that comes from Calvary. So take your eyes off those fruits and the blessings you had, but back to the source of it to get those fresh blessings again. Very easy for us to be led aside, and we think of our proud heart. The heart uplifts with God's own gifts and makes even grace a snare. The Lord says, no, don't look at the gifts, look at the giver. Look at the one that heals the lepers, not at the actual thing that is done. Be like the Samaritan who returned to give the Lord the glory and the thanks, realizing what was done in him, however wonderful and blessed it was that was done, but the hand that did it, that meant more to him. Is that so with us? Yes, we may be glad of temporal blessings and spiritual blessings, but the thing that glads the heart the most is who it is that's done it. And what it is a title and a token of that he shall, with that provision, that fullness that we've tasted a little of, that is an exhaustless store. In one sense, it's almost as if one is given the option. Would you like just a little bit of blessing and I'll give you that. And for the rest of your life, you just draw from that which I've given you. Or do I give you a title to all the fullness that is in me? And I will bless you again and again from that fullness. And it will be my blessing to you. It is the Lord that blesses his people. And it's a blessed soul that will realise that. Dear aged sister in faith over in Australia and a real mother in Israel to me, and it's good for young people. I mean, I was in my early 20s and she was in, well, I took her funeral when she died at 81. And, you know, she was a real example to me, simple soul, but the faith that she had in the Lord. I saw when the Lord withdrew from her, and she wasn't running hither and thither as if she could bring the Lord from his throne. I always remember that, what she conveyed as one that could trust in the Lord, and he would come again in his time and he would bless her, and he did, and he would lift her up, and she could wait on him coming. The faith that I saw, especially in her patience and waiting in trials, looking unto him. And when she was blessed, the joy, the gladness, the delight in her face, and the effect it had on her physically as well as spiritually. And it is a hard thing to sit still, but it's a blessed thing to sit still knowing that it is the Lord that will come with his blessing and his word, and not ourselves. We cannot bless ourselves, but the psalmist, he speaks about our eyes up unto the Lord as a maid, her mistress, and as a servant, his master. And the eyes are looking as helpless in themselves, but trusting, and trusting in his word, and in his faithfulness, and in his coming. And the thing that is remembered here, it is the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. It is the works of the Lord in salvation. All the promises of his coming, all of his coming, his provision. Abraham saw Christ's day and rejoiced at it, saw him in that substitutionary offering, taking Isaac off the altar, putting the ram in his place. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Really, Abraham had this faith. He no more knew where that ram was than Isaac, but he knew his God, and he knew him as a God of salvation, and he knew he could trust him. And really, that trial that Abraham went through was really, Abraham, do you trust me or not? Do you really believe the promises bound up in thy son? He did believe them. But we read in Hebrews, he believed that even if he was slain, God would raise him up from the dead, and that he received him in figure from the dead. God's work, Abraham knew, may we know it, cannot be extinguished, cannot be put out. God's work endureth forever. Our work fails. Our work is miserable, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what is remembered here is the Lord's work. That which is done, and in the gospel day today, for us, before we were born, 2,000 years before, at Calvary, Christ knew our persons, our sins, they were laid upon him. He bore them before the judgment, bore them away at Calvary, shed his blood, made atonement for them, complete satisfaction for them. No other sacrifice for sin. If you and I are saved, our sins were laid on Christ there, and he bore them away. That is what baptism sets forth. Buried with him in baptism, and risen again in newness of life, it clearly identifies with, again, that one sin-atoning sacrifice. The ordinances of God's house so emphasize the work of God here. They point back to Calvary, back to Christ's work. And we may say as well that the remembering of the works of the Lord and of his doings, those wonders that he has done, will also be in our call. That which makes the blessings that Christ has purchased for us and that which he has done for us to actually be applied to us. But we are not to trust in, shall we say, the effects of the call, but the one who has called. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And again, the emphasis is on the hand, the Lord's hand that begins. I passed by thee when thou wast in thy blood. and bid thee live. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All the time he's laying us aside. We were sinners. Christ's work was to die for us. We were in our blood as dead, wallowing in our blood under the wrath of God. Christ died for us. And all the time is the picture of our miserable, helpless state under condemnation. And Christ's work on our behalf, unasked, of his own mercy and abounding grace and goodness to us. He began that good work. He is the author of faith. He carries it on. And that's what the soul is looking, and it is to be directed back to, remembering the works of the Lord. May this then be a sifting out in some of your experiences here. Perhaps those things you haven't found any comfort in. Has it not been one aspect of something of your responses or your work as opposed to God's work? There are many times where the Lord sees fit that where he show his work in a sinner, if he is to speak of those times or think of those times when the work of God is, there'll be that in them which is a real shame. If you were to ask Jacob and say, Jacob, when was the time that you were so blessed at first? He said, well, it was at Bethel. And I was lying with stones for my pillow and the Lord appeared for me and showed me the vision of the ladder set up on earth and extending up into heaven. The Lord stood above it. Saying, Jacob, why were you there? Oh, because I deceived my father and I lied to him and I stole the blessing from my brother, and my brother's anger was so stirred that I've had to go away from home because of the fruit of my doings. Jacob the supplanter. But in spite of that, the Lord blessed him. Not because, in spite of that, he blessed him. How humbly. If you were to ask the Apostle Paul, when were you so blessed? When did the Lord pass by you in your blood and bless you? Oh, on the Damascus Road. Wonderful. The Lord appeared as a light brighter than the midday sun, spoke to me from heaven. Why were you on that road? Oh, Cecil, I was going to Damascus with letters to hail the Lord's people, men and women, to prison. And immediately all his pride and all what he was doing is all laid low. And the Lord's work is magnified. And Saul, he didn't even know who the Lord was. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Mark many times, and I certainly can in my life, where the Lord has blessed my soul, if I to relate them, then there's something in that relating that really deals a blow to pride. The Lord finds out my sin, my shame, and magnifies his mercy, his grace, his goodness in when he comes, that no flesh might glory in his presence. You might say, Peter, when were you blessed with this wonderful blessing of having the Lord intercede for you, that your faith fail not and your faith was kept alive? And poor Peter must say, well, during that time I denied my Lord and Master 3 times. That was his part. The Lord's part. The Lord kept his faith alive. He didn't end up being a castaway like Judas. He still loved his Lord and his Master. We had to remember the Lord's work. And if there are those of you that you can't get past your own work, you can't get past that which Satan says, you look at you, look at what you've said, look at what you've done, look at how you've acted. You look at, how can you be a child of God? But faith says, yes, that is my work. That is deserving hell. There's no hope for me there, but I want to see the Lord's work. And the Lord's word towards me. The Lord says to his people, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's the Lord's thoughts and the Lord's work that is to be the comfort of a sinner. And we're not to move from that. We're to remember that. Hence the services of remembrance. Hence what we read in Deuteronomy, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to try thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. You see again the Lord's wonderful works on one hand, and that which brings shame and confusion, to know what was in our heart, and there's nothing good in our hearts, nothing but sin and disgrace. John the Baptist, he says, he must increase, I must decrease. And we'll experience that. That the Lord might be all in all, and we be more and more focused and more see that 'tis only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, only in his intercession, only in his work, his salvation, his calling, his teaching, his leading. That's our hope. His hand, not our own. I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. But then there's a second thing. I will meditate also of all thy work. There's two things that are brought in here. The meditation, and then in another way, there's extending all thy work. Meditation, in one sense, it's well, like the cattle or the clean beast that would chew the cud. They eat the grass and then they sit down and they go over what they have eaten. Here it is a remembering, but not just remembering it, going over it, thinking upon it, meditating upon it. How the devil likes to fill our minds with vain things. I remember preaching here quite some years ago, I think it is, from Psalm 119. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And you know how vain thoughts plague us. They do me. And we needn't be surprised if the way to blessing is meditation on the Lord's work, that the devil will say, I'm going to put in something different there. I don't want you to meditate and think on the Lord's work. I want some imaginary thing. Some vain thing, some empty thing. And he fills the mind with those things. Now those here troubled, you staggered. You know what the problem is. And yet can you stop yourself from vain and empty thoughts? Proud thoughts, thoughts that are triggered and you think, where did that start from? When did I first thinking that? And it's there. And you resolve you won't go in that path again and that in it comes again. Satan so often tempts in that way. We read after the flood, the imagination of the heart of man is only evil continually. Will the world that lieth in sin and wickedness know that? No. God's people will though, and they'll mourn over it. It will grieve them. But here we have, meditate also of all thy work. Dear friends, may we be helped to aim for this. Ask the Lord to give meditation upon his work, to direct your thoughts in that. I prove this is pleasing to the Lord when his dear people, groaning under a heart that so often bends away from him and thinks of vain things, confess that before him and would take a word such as this and turn it into a prayer. Lord, grant me to remember thy work and to meditate on it. Fill my thoughts with right thoughts, not vain thoughts, but solid thoughts of what thou hast done, real things, not empty things. The child of God's path is a path of conflict, path of conflict between the new man of grace and the old man of sin, and it doesn't get better, dear friends. You'll feel that conflict right through life. But the Lord knows, and he sees the toiling, he hears the groans. He knows that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. He knows those sighs. He knows what you would do. But you know, he'll teach us this as well, that meditation comes from him, that we look from him as well. In everything, there's nothing a sinner will get to heaven and say, well, the Lord bless me, but I meditated upon these things rightly. There's nothing you'll be able to lay claim and say, I added that to thy work. There are those who teach that, you know, a salvation, that God's done his part and we must do ours, and never get you to heaven. If there is ever a weak link of man's hand in any part of salvation, that soul will never get to heaven. It is all of grace. It is all of God's work, that he would work in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. I just say this, though, in a way of warning. If there are those here and you think, well, is it Lord's work? Then I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to come and go from the house of God. And if the Lord saves me, he does. And if he doesn't, well, it's the Lord's fault. As yet you are so dead in trespasses and sins, you do not know your danger. You've no idea of what hell is and what it is that is most certainly awaiting you. A soul that can be so careless and so indifferent as to their salvation clearly shows where their destination is. Though the work is solely of the Lord's, a soul that really has any knowledge of what it means to their soul will really have their cry, let thy work appear unto thy servant. It will desire the work of the Lord. May that be our desire, cry to the Lord for him to work. That is the cry of the church, that he would arise, the Spirit would arise, that the Lord would appear and bless Zion. May that be so with us individually as well. I will meditate also of all thy work. How many of us here have an inward religion that lasts like this, that is meditated upon? Are there some of you who go out from the house of God and before you've walked to the car park, you've forgotten what was said, the subject, you don't think about it anymore? That is not what is here. Have we a religion where we actually meditate and think? The psalmist here is speaking about the night seasons and being awake and what went on in his soul then, and be mindful of the difference as to when he had no comfort and in trouble and when he had joy and gladness and was able to praise. They that have no changes fear not God. But are we mindful of these changes? The scriptures speak of this as being exercised. Be mindful of what is going on in our souls, our conditions, May we truly meditate, think carefully, go over, look at every aspect of it, examine ourselves in the position of it, not just pass over it. Now, the more we meditate and think of the Lord's work, the more we will see more and more in it, more and more see every aspect of it. Thinking of the context here of coming out of Egypt, if you read Psalm 137, 136, where every verse finishes, "For his mercy endureth forever," he starts off that the Lord brought them out of Egypt. But then, as it were, thinking further on it, brought them out with a high hand. The more meditation thinks they didn't only come out of Egypt, but they came out very surely, certainly, with a strong hand. And so the more there's thought about it, there's more aspects of showing the mercy of God. It speaks of the Lord make great lights. And then there's the thinking of the great lights, the sun to rule the day, for his mercy endureth forever, the moon to rule the night, for his mercy endureth forever. And the more it's thought of, and more it's meditated, found out more and more mercies. We are taught not to just generalize the Lord's visits and the Lord's work. I mean, we can sum up the work of redemption and salvation at Calvary in very few words. But we can also, as we meditate, see more and more aspects of the mercy and goodness and provision of God for poor sinners. And that's what we want to meditate also of all thy work. And so here then is not just one aspect of the Lord's work. Now it's embracing all of providence, all works in the world, everything. The earth is full of his glory. And we're to think of those things. The book of Esther does not mention the name of God, but is full of the works of God, full of that working together for good. And so that meditation, it then expands to all of the Lord's works. But then there's a last point, and that is, and talk of thy doings. We read in Romans chapter 10, "With the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The Lord's people are not to remain a silent people, a dumb people. The Lord said of those that praised him as he came into Jerusalem, strewed their garments in the way, the palm trees in the way, "If these should hold their peace, the very stones should cry out." The Lord's people are told that they are to confess the Lord before men. And where there is not a confessing before men, then the Lord will not confess them before his Father. What is really implied is that those that know the Lord's work cannot but speak of his glory. They cannot but, like the apostle said, speak of those things which we have seen, which we have handled, which we have tasted. The two on the way to Emmaus, we are told with them that they said to our Lord, "It is toward evening and the day is far spent." And they constrained him and he went in with them. Were they going to do any more journeys that night? No. But when the Lord appeared to them and when the Lord blessed them, they couldn't get back to Jerusalem quick enough, instantly, to tell what had been done in the way and how Jesus had made himself known to them in breaking of bread. It will be the language, "Hinder me not." I mentioned before, dear sister in faith in Melbourne, And my father who baptized her, he said when she went before the church, that is what she said to the church, hinder me not. She had that desire that she would join the church, be baptized, follow the Lord. And the Lord's blessing was upon her. Well, remember as a child at that time, we had a shop that was a bit like your Woolworths over here, it's Coles. And they had Bibles that were quite big Bibles, almost as, I still got mine, nearly as big as the pulpit Bible. And they were selling them for $4, £2 or something in this shop. And dear Alice, you know, with the love of God in her soul, she went to that shop and she bought out the whole stock. And they came out with sack wheels with all these Bibles and gave to everyone in the chapel. There would have been 75 of us or so at Melbourne Chapel in those days. And I still got that Bible with it written in with my name from her. And it was a real remembrance of the effect of the blessing of a soul and the love to the Word of God and the desire to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found and point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. And that was the psalmist here. And may that be you, and may that be me, and may the Lord's dealings with us make us never ever forget that. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day and to give an address at the prayer meeting on Monday evening. And Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. 772.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Comforter, rest and abide with you now and evermore. Amen.